from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
11 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. The song choice is because someone on the text line said Drew's starting to sound like he likes wearing suits with his first world beach problems that he was mentioning.
His coastal beach issues, you know?
Poor guy at the Outer Banks for a week. He didn't get his same spot every day on his public beach. He had to move over 30 feet.
To that texture, thank you for checking me. I now retract my complaint.
We didn't even go on vacation, kids, except for to the woods.
All right.
We are expected to hear from Andy Reid at some point this hour.
I've never been to Disney World.
So that's coming up this hour as well. We'll pass along a few bits of news, though, from practice today.
A little skirmish?
Well, that too, but Jalen Watson was back in the gold non-contact jersey today. And so remember, that's all stemming from the offseason surgery that he had. Also, Nick Bolton still not practicing as expected. No Justin Reed, Kelvin Joseph, Charles Minihue, the usual names.
But Watson and Nazi Johnson were out there.
Kadarius Toney and Justin Toney. Watson on the field. Toney seemed to be limited. He left early, but not because of a re-injury.
He just did some light work.
So that's where things are on the injury front. But we'll hear from Andy Reid a little bit more coming up in just a little bit. And one thing that hasn't been brought up as much when we've been up at camp, we'll be back there tomorrow, by the way, broadcasting from the Comcast business tent, powering possibilities. If you're watching the video stream, you can see the backdrop behind us. But look, the training camp story has been centered around Xavier Worthy.
Yeah,
and all the reps he's getting, and it makes sense.
And
as
all
said,
the deep passes he's catching,
and I think that's been a concerted effort to make sure that he is that involved. So because of that, it's been a quiet camp for Hollywood Brown. That doesn't worry me at all, man, about what we should expect for Hollywood Brown. There's a video coming out tomorrow. You and I did this video with our social media team. They ask us like a take for the day. I'll just tell you, mine is about Hollywood Brown and how bullish I am for his season. Like,
it'll come out tomorrow. You said it's Take Tuesday, man. Come on.
Yeah. I thought you said
later today. Sorry.
Oh, whatever.
It's like, yeah. Doesn't matter.
But the point being is we recorded it today. I don't know
no one's even going to watch it. You know, what are you doing? You're ruining his social media strategy.
We're talking about the same thing here.
Just go ahead.
We're talking about the same thing.
I'm just giving you a hard time.
But he's at a quiet camp. I'm not worried about it. I still think he's going to have a career year.
Because I was thinking the juxtaposition of the two, because Xavier Worthy's had a very loud camp. Hollywood Brown's had a very quiet camp, and I wanted to know if that changes your expectations for either of these players. 913-586-7610. You're saying for Hollywood, it does not. Does it do anything for Worthy? Are you thinking his potential numbers could be higher? He could be more involved. They could use him more, knowing what you know now, because they've used him a ton of camp. If it's changed anything, it's changed more for me there. That might be where I was on Hollywood. I think Hollywood's a 900-yard receiver. I still think he's a 900-yard receiver. I think what camp taught me is what you should expect, not you, the collective you. Hollywood Brown is an average wide receiver. He's fine. He's fine. And by fine wide receiver standards, he will put up pretty good numbers and a really good offense, similar to that of Juju Smith-Schuster, who was also fine. And I think that when you look at the end of the year, that's what he is. Worthy's starting to change my opinion a little bit, because if there is a way to actually get involved as a rookie in a much deeper wide receiver unit than they were just last year, when they just had no choice but to get to Rashee Rice, it's by running really fast down the field 60 miles an hour. And guys like Trent McDuffie saying, if he's past you, it's over. You've lost the rep. I think those things made me think he's going to be a little more involved than I was initially thinking. I'm still not going to tell you he's an 800-yard receiver, but my expectations for him are growing.
I've thought about it more. I'll give you that. You know, when the over-under set at 750 and a half yards for Worthy, and we both for weeks and weeks and weeks said that was a too high of a number, I still would take the under, but I'll admit a little more nervous about it. A little bit. I think the number still is too high, but I've definitely thought that maybe we're a little off in how we viewed it.
Maybe we were being haters.
But I also think it's training camp. He didn't practice in the offseason. They are giving him every bit of work they can. He already missed three due to strep earlier in camp.
Like, but with all that missed time, they're still using the hell out of him, you know?
No, they are. But I'm wondering, and we're going to find out, I guess, when the season starts. I'm wondering also if the effort is there to make sure he's involved because of the missed time. And they feel confident already in what they're getting from Hollywood Brown. He's a vet. He's been in this league for a while. Time and time again, we hear from Patrick Mahomes the one thing that surprises him about Hollywood Brown, not just a deep threat,
the routes,
just an all-around solid receiver. That's where the Juju Smith-Schuster comparison comes in, plus the deep passing ability. We know a career high for Hollywood Brown is a little over 1,000 yards, and I think he has a chance to break that. I think he has a chance to have a career year yardage-wise. We'll see about all the other numbers that come together. And it is a deeper room, as you said. That's my only hesitation on Worthy. Are we back to Andy Reid and how he views rookies typically?
He just might not get enough snaps to matter.
But for Worthy, if they're taking three deep shots a game with Worthy and he connects on one or two, all it takes is one, it could be 60 yards just like that, and all of a sudden you're pacing way higher, and that's where he has the bigger opportunity. But if Rashee Rice is not getting suspended, and we'll see, it's trending more and more like that, I think, and Hollywood Brown's there and healthy, and all of a sudden I think we got to be a little careful. We think Kelsey's still, let's say, going to be a 1,000-yard guy. I think Hollywood Brown, as I said, is be a 1,000-plus-yard guy. I think Rice could be right around, you know, close to 1,000. Yeah, it's already three guys at 1,000. Worthy's going to chip in 800.
I mean, be the single greatest offense in NFL history if that happens.
That's my hesitation on Worthy. It's not that I'm down on him at all. I think it's just we got to remember typically how the rookie year goes.
As someone who has to spend a lot of time, and over the last decade of my life, has spent a lot of time at camp, one thing I would warn you about the videos that come out of there, if that's the way you're evaluating as a fan, as we ask this question, is not all reps are created equal. Yesterday, Xavier Worthy caught another long pass in practice. Let it be known that he was up against defensive back coaches. They weren't even guarding him. So yeah, he was probably open 60 yards down the field. No one was covering him. It's a cardio rep. That doesn't actually mean he's actually beating someone down the field. It matters. Those matter.
Well, the reps now, I mean, I'm sure the individual player would disagree, but I don't know how.
I just meant from what you should anticipate about their production.
I just think, though, the reps right now at camp, if we're asking whose reps are more valuable to their season-long performance, Worthy's reps. He needs them.
He's
a rookie. He missed time. You know, someone else points out a fair thing, you know, in the hot weather, veterans usually they go a little easier on them.
Things feel a little tighter.
You know, and Worthy, he's a rookie. He's, you know, all of this stuff factors in a little bit. But for Hollywood Brown, the fact that it's been a quiet camp, actually, I view it as a good thing when you're a veteran. It's been quiet camp for Travis Kelce, too.
Sure,
it's been a quiet camp for Isaiah Pacheco.
But, new team, you know, just felt like I was going to get more buzz with him, and there's been no real buzz. Not that you need that to be a productive player. It's why my opinion on him hasn't changed.
Yeah, I mean, the same thing's going to happen.
It hasn't gotten worse. It just hasn't changed.
Same thing will happen during a preseason game. I'm expecting.
We got a preseason game on Saturday.
Expecting whether it's Saturday against Jacksonville for the first preseason game or the second one, Worthy's probably going to have a long touchdown catch, and everybody's going to just elevate the expectation even more. Which is, you know how that goes, or vice versa.
Who got the long pass for Patrick in his first preseason game against Atlanta when he absolutely just. I was just trying to remember who caught that one.
But it happens. I mean, look at even last year, a guy that didn't make the team, Amir Smith-Marset, had a great camp. ends up getting cut. He goes to the Panthers. I think he's still there. You know, like, maybe somewhere else now. Like
Minnesota first, I think.
Nico Remigio, same thing. Like, I'm not saying that these guys can't make the team, but just keep that in mind. I think we always have to put it in perspective a little bit with preseason games as well. There will be somebody that's slated to be the fifth receiver or not make the team that will have a couple big plays, and all of a sudden their value will be overly inflated amongst fans, and we're guilty of this as well. I'm talking about all of us and how we view a certain player, you know?
Yeah, it's camp, but that camp doesn't mean nothing either. No. Like a couple of years ago when Isaiah Pacheco was the star of camp, that meant something, Golden. He was the most important running back they had on the roster. But it's hard sometimes when you're just like the savvy veteran to like stand out in a way. And Xavier Worthy's running really fast all the time down the field.
Text line seems to think it was Tyreek Hill that caught the long pass.
Oh, well, never mind then. I don't.
At least that's multiple ones.
Someone said based on your recent social media history, they can't wait to watch. You know, the video that's coming out.
Oh, yours. Yeah, based on what you've been doing.
No. I'm turning over a new leaf, maybe.
Shh. BS on that.
You don't believe me?
No. Absolutely.
Can change. People can change.
Yeah, but you said you were all of a sudden in the last week it's been going crazy.
Yeah. I don't know, man. It's got a little too loose, I guess. I don't know what to say.
You're tweeting while drinking.
That was one of them. That was definitely one of them. I think it was both. I don't think I was drinking during the Bobby.
And then we're going to Vegas in a couple weeks, so I don't expect you to change your ways once we're in Vegas.
Different vibe. Last year we were there for the Super Bowl. We had gotten off on that Friday.
Different vibe, as in this one, there's a little more free time.
Yeah, it's more laid back,
so you
it
think
sounds
I'm
like.
More likely
yeah.
To get in trouble.
Let's just call it like it is. Like, this trip in a couple weeks will not be as much work, I'll just be honest, as the one in Radio Row Week. No, it just won't. Well,
that's a good point.
Which means you're going to be drinking more.
Maybe. I mean, it is less work and we get off at noon, so.
Put the phone away.
You saying I shouldn't tweet?
Well.
Thursday and Friday.
I'll document some of it, yeah.
I had to, don't you remember? And this was like, it was a couple weeks ago. Somebody, I had to delete a tweet because I sent something out about someone who worked here. And I was like, I shouldn't call him out like that. Maybe I am getting a little too loose.
It sounds
you better be careful around
what
me.
What are you doing?
I get my phone.
What's going on?
I get my phone and one cocktail at Circa, and you might be in trouble.
Yeah.
Careful, Alex.
Man.
Careful.
Oh, my goodness.
I can send anything out now.
Clearly. Clearly.
Alex needs to be telling you, be careful.
Everyone did say it was Tyreek, it looks like, which I did look it up. It was, but I was thinking maybe it wasn't somebody important. No, it was.
We'll get to the trash of the day here in about 7 minutes or so. Also, Chiefs Red half hour, 15 minutes away. Expected to hear from Andy Reid and also talk about a special visitor at camp for two straight days, which was, look, it just didn't look right. Okay.
It looked weird.
It just didn't look right.
Weird.
So we'll get to that in a bit. But let's get back to the Royals a little bit. And we were discussing Hunter Harvey, one of the acquisitions. Mm-hmm. It's been rocky, admittedly. Yesterday he gets the saves, but it's been rocky. And then you look at some of the other pieces acquired by JJ Piccolo over the trade deadline.
We've now got a full week.
We do. Small sample size, but it is a full week. Urseg, I think everybody's very high on him now. We've discussed how if you were to do a poll question right now amongst every single Royals fan, and they all voted, the overwhelming selection that would win in that poll to be the closer
by a mile.
By fans would be Urseg. And I get
97%
it.
Of the vote.
In the small sample size, he's looked really, really good. He presents something they have not had from anybody in the bullpen, whether it's spotting 100 miles an hour on the corner or anything else. And then Michael Lorenzen got his first start in a Royals uniform, almost officially a quality start. I think it was
two out short, something like that.
It was against the Tigers, small sample size, but that was the best outing they had got out of the fifth spot since Alec Marsh was pitching really well in May. Because Alec Marsh had struggled the last couple months.
What I like the best about this is a couple of these guys you've had around for a little while, like Harvey got traded for a little bit ago, but everyone else, we're now getting a taste of how they're planning on using them. And I got to be honest, it makes me feel even better about the trade deadline that he just had. Because every single person has a definitive and I think well thought out and what looks to be the right, you've evaluated them correctly for the role. Like Paul DeJong's job is to come off the bench. He's to start one day a week, maybe two, depending on the vibes, and then come off the bench and slug. And the early returns on that are that's exactly what he is. Again, he will strike out. He will fly out. He's not going to walk a bunch. But he will come off the bench and maybe run into a home run for you. And Lorenzen, that was the one that I was the most skeptical about because I thought, well, maybe they'll put him in the pen. Because Marsh had done a very above serviceable, I would say, job as the number five starter. I'm like, is he going to be an upgrade over what you were starting anyway? And while it is only one start, the answer appears to be yes. Like, that was as good as you said a fifth starter had looked probably in a month and a half, 2 months. And so if they got an upgrade at the fifth spot, they were already rock solid 1 through 4. Now you're going to be no problems asked 1 through 5. I'm not saying an occasional bad start. You know, that works for any starter. But I feel like their plan looks like it might have been about perfect. They filled every little tiny hole to make themselves a little bit better in all their weakest areas.
Well, it's a great return on the small sample size. You know, I think anytime you can upgrade your fifth spot in the rotation this late in the season and get a little bit more out of it than you were, then that's a big win. I just want to be cautious because it's one outing, right? And we have seen 18 plus outings Michael Lorenzen has had with the Rangers. And so now, is there something that this pitching staff, because there's a track record suddenly in the last calendar year or so where they've been able to get more out of certain pitchers than other organizations. That's why I have more confidence that it's not just a one outing, but also I just think we got to pump the brakes a little bit because it was against Detroit and it was 1 5 2/3 of an inning outing.
Yeah. And again, for the most part, they can't. I've told you their path to victory is not, let's find out if 4 bullpen arms have it today, which is about what 5 1/3 innings get. But I think you can do that for the fifth starter spot. For the fifth starter spot, I'll take 5 innings. Pretty much for any major league team across the board.
Of course I would take that out. It's not about of course I would take that out.
Can you repeat that out?
Yeah, I'm a little more skeptical than maybe you are that's what we should expect out of him.
The numbers this year support the fact that what not maybe that good, but that he is an upgrade over Marsh. And that's not even Alec Marsh was really good this year. I thought Alec Marsh deserves. I thought this was about they know that they need Alec Marsh for more than just this year. He was already 25% above the amount he had pitched last season. And that's why JJ told me and others, I think, that like they're just going to take him down there and give him 40 or 50 pitches. And then that way he can still build up. And if they need another starter, they can just throw him back into the mix. But that they also can protect his innings for when he might end up being your bullpen arm. He might end up being your long guy in a playoff game if you get up 7 innings or if your pitcher gets in a lot of trouble
injuries,
or a million other things that could still take place. But to the early stuff, the only guy who I feel like I've got an unanswered question on is Harvey. Like, how good of a reliever are you? Because it's been a bit dicey so far early. Harvey seems like he's like every other Royals reliever in one way, which is, you're pretty average, which means you're going to be good sometimes, not good other times. The only difference between him is he's average, but he also throws 99, so he could still get out of it.
Yeah, strikeout stuff. We've seen this play out a couple times since he's pitched with the Royals, where he's got himself in a jam, but he does have the ability to get out of it. But it's been rocky. I think it's more fair. We had JJ Piccolo on last week, and I think he said he used the word rusty. He said it was a little rusty post All-Star break.
Said he'd taken like 10 days off from pitching or something.
And also, if you look at the season for Harvey with the Nationals, really, really good first month and a half, 2 months of the season, April, May. And then they overused him in D.C. The question is, do they overuse him to the point where it screwed up his whole year? Or is it a situation where the Royals can not overuse him themselves and get him adjusted and feel more comfortable? Because right now, it's been a little bit rocky. Now, I didn't think Hunter Harvey was coming in and just going to be, you know, slamming the doors on everybody.
He's going to be Kenley Jansen
all
of a sudden.
You know, they gave up a decent amount to go acquire Hunter Harvey. And that's why the expectation was raised. And we'll see. But Urcig right now, at least amongst fans, is the guy that I think everybody's most confident in, that he could be the closest to your legit dominant closer, if that even exists on the roster. I don't know if it does, even with Urcig. I think we have to be measured in how we also view him. I mean, because it's been great to see him so far. But what, you know,
his season log numbers not suggest he's going to dominate.
He's not going to go 12 straight outings without giving up a run. Sorry.
You sure?
I am sure.
It's starting to look that way.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. What will you do for the show if he goes, how many is he at now? Like 3?
I'm talking about 12 once more. He starts closing, but yeah,
oh,
sure.
Yeah. That's tough. But it's also like, you know, it is, he essentially closed yesterday, whether you like it or not yesterday, 2 days ago, because he pitched in the 8th against 2, 3, and 4 in the order. They were trying to get the best outs, the most important outs with Urcig.
We're playing the matchups.
JJ, it is, for all the people that were in, I think on this show's mentions, the tweet, they were like, he's baby Dayton, he's Dayton Jr. And you and I defended it because I told you I've had long conversations with both of those guys a million times. They do not think about baseball the exact same way. There are similarities, there always are, and I know he worked under him, but it's the same thing. Nobody in this world, he has been so much better than everybody thought, because I think of that. Nobody in this world thinks exactly the way their boss. Everybody thinks they can do their job better than their boss. Alex is like, I could do Speck's job. I mean, 1,000 times better. Daily, he probably thinks about it. All the different ways he'd do Speck's job better than him. That's the way it works. People think about they don't operate the same way as just the guy who's in charge. And I just, you know what I'm going to do? That guy who just got fired, I think I'm just going to do the exact same thing he just did. That's not what anybody's going to do when they take over an organization. JJ has earned a lot of trust. He should have earned a lot of trust over the last 2 years from Royals fans.
Yeah, with what the moves they have made, and we've calculated it or talked about it, the moves that they have made in the last calendar year plus to this point in time, most of them, if not all, have panned out. Even Hunter Renfro at the beginning of the season when people were frustrated, that's turned out to be just fine. Really has.
Yeah.
He's been fine as your right fielder.
Even better than that probably for the last couple of months, but yeah, that's worked out. I'm trying to think of his worst move so far. I mean, there haven't been that.
Well, if you want to go to that, you would have to go to
the last couple of years, I guess. But there's been some, I guess, before.
From this year, you would have to pinpoint the Schreiber or...
Stratton.
Stratton or Will Smith acquisition. Yeah. But we've talked about Will Smith's value in the clubhouse and what he's presented. And he's actually been... He hasn't been given that role again, but his numbers have been way better after
He's a perfectly fine bullpen arm who's provided incredible veteran leadership.
Trash of the day.
All right, we go to Iowa for this one.
Okay.
Pleasantonville, Iowa.
Well, that sounds like a made-up town, but okay.
You're thinking of the...
Pleasantville?
That's
a good movie.
And by the way, I think I said that wrong. Pleasantville is the name of the Iowa town as well.
But I'm sorry.
It is based off the 1998 film Pleasantville.
Oh, wait, so that's really what... Okay, that makes sense. Fine.
It bears the same name. I don't know if the movie's connected to that at all. But anyway, an Iowa woman there from the city outside of Des Moines is accused of poisoning her husband with eye drops.
Okay.
At least twice last year. She was arrested on Tuesday more than a year after she allegedly spiked her husband's drinks with the over-the-counter product that has harmful ingredients, according to court documents. They were placed in her spouse's drink on two separate occasions back in July of 2023. She admitted during an interview that she did administer the harmful substance. Her husband fortunately did survive the alleged poisonings, but was hospitalized for struggling to breathe after drinking the tainted beverage. So, a couple drops of those contact solution eye drops.
Jeez.
That's all it takes. Look, just, you know, if my wife's listening, just divorce me. You don't have to poison me. Like, if that's what we're down to, you know, like, there are other choices before you poison me.
The fact that this occurred in the city of Pleasantville, which the city's motto is, the name says it all. Safe streets, quality schools.
This lady
provides an excellent, excellent hub for businesses and opportunity.
And she's poisoning her husband?
Mm-hmm.
Not so pleasant for this guy. Yeah, you're right.
In fact, she did it twice. It didn't work the first time.
She failed, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Why didn't she try a new method out of curiosity? If it didn't work the first time, wouldn't you think you'd want to go to a new poisoning method?
Because she probably thought that was easy.
Or did it kind of work, and then she thought, yeah, she already had the eye drops.
Probably thought that was easy. No mess in her mind or whatever. She probably thought it was easy. She didn't have to do anything physically.
You think if someone just, like, dies, they don't, like, run a tox screen or something? I mean, imagine this would show up, wouldn't it?
Someone says that won't kill you, give you diarrhea. Not true. I mean, literally, that's...
Sounds like it almost killed this guy.
In the article, it references...
It says it can lead to low blood pressure, dangerously slow heart, and death.
Yeah, it's not as simple as just diarrhea.
Yeah. I mean, it's not... I mean,
one drop of it.
It's not arsenic, but it's also, you know, I imagine if you already had a different underlying condition, that would be the case.
Eye drops. Someone says you don't get life insurance money, Cody, when you get divorced. That's why that doesn't work. Jeez.
I see. Interesting. I mean, you know, you're not getting life insurance money if you go to jail either. So, you know,
correct.
If you're looking for one versus the other, you might want to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
The name says it all. That's too risky. Anytime there's a single headline out of there, like if there's ever been a murder in Pleasantville, of course you're going to mention it because the name of the town is Pleasantville. So I have to assume there's either no crime or we're going to talk about any small piece of crime that may ever happen there, right? If that's the name of your town?
Pleasantville, Iowa. It's out of the suburb of Des Moines. There's only like 2,000 people in this suburb, though, I guess. Or small town. Up Des Moines, Iowa. That is trash of the day. Up next, Chiefs Red Half Hour. Going to hear from Andy Reid and a certain visitor 2 days in a row made it to Chiefs camp. And I'll be honest, it just looks weird. It just does. We'll tell you who it is next.
Hey, it's Vinny Pasquantino.
Don't forget to follow Cody and Gold on the Odyssey app so you can listen on demand to my terrific football takes throughout the year right here
on 610 Sports Radio.
Brought to you by Heartland Men's Health, the leader in men's sexual health. Thousands of men have been successfully treated for low T, ED, and more, all with discretion and compassion. Make your appointment at heartlandmenshealth.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Chiefs Kingdom. This is Mitch Holtis, and welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour on Cody and Gold. Every day at 11:30 on your official broadcast partner, the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Thank you, Mitch. Of course, training camp still going on in St. Joe. We're back up there tomorrow. We'll be continuing our training camp coverage presented by Technology Group Solutions, the official IT provider of your Kansas City Chiefs. When we're up there tomorrow, we'll have another member of the Chiefs join us. It's preseason football, as you said, this Saturday. This Saturday, a little preseason football. The Chiefs taking on Trevor Lawrence.
Watch some Carson Wentz.
And the Jags, and a lot of Carson Wentz. Yeah, probably a lot of Carson Wentz in that football game. Andy Reid at the podium, though, talking about some of the injuries to start things off and a special visitor at camp.
Hayek didn't practice. Kelvin Joseph, no practice. Justin Reid, no practice. Deion Bush was out there practicing. Nazi practiced. And then Chris Jones got a little tweak to his shoulder, stinger type thing. So he came out for a little bit. Anyways, good work today. Guys are busting their tail, getting after it. Appreciate that. It's warm, so they're getting good heat work. With that, time's yours.
I know Isaiah spent a lot of time working on his receiving. What have you seen? Does he look like he's growing in that department?
Isaiah, what's your name? Yeah, he did. He's doing a nice job. Yeah. He's good with all that. Protection's good there, no problem.
Yep. And thinking back to 2017, what went into the successful development of Patton Mahomes? And I know so many people are like, well, you sat him a year, but what was happening behind the scenes there?
Yeah, well, guy, he worked. And he worked with Mike Kafka, he worked with Matt Nagy. Alex was a big part of that. But the bottom line was he worked, and studied. So, yeah. And then he's got gifts too. Let me add that in there. Yeah. He's pretty gifted.
Picking that support staff, how important was that? Kafka and Nagy being the guys to help put him in success?
Yeah, those guys are very important. But yeah, you got to have good coaches, good players. Both are important. So yeah, those were important hires.
Andy, I know in a few weeks you're going to have a lot of difficult decisions, particularly at wide receiver. But what are you looking for over the next month, and how difficult are some decisions that are going to be?
Yeah, we tell the guys, make it as hard as you can on us when it comes to that time. Not everybody's going to make the team, but make it tough on us. And so they've got time to do that. With this schedule, that's one of the benefits. They have time to do that. Show us what you got. So, and they will be tough cuts.
Did you see much of a change in Drew Tranquil first year in camp to this year, sort of, you know, having more command of the defense?
Yeah, he's very comfortable. I felt that way, though, towards the end of the year. Feel very comfortable with him. Well, you got to get, we're working with his doctors, so it'll keep increasing as we go. I can't tell you exactly when and where it'll be live and all of that, but we'll just see how he continues to progress.
Nate asked about Drew. I'm just curious what you guys feel like you have in Jack Cochran, especially with Colton sort of out in the mix.
Jack knows every position, every linebacker position. Probably knows every position, but he knows every position. Smart, athletic, and you know, is a good commander out there. He gets everybody lined up, and you feel very secure with him in there.
You've been in camp for a while now. Do you feel that there's a little bit of a slump, and if so, how do you kind of work through, you know, camp day after day after day?
Yeah, we give guys new stuff every day to work on, so try to stay out of that slump.
Just one of the observations of your new punter.
I like him. Just keep working. Consistency always as you go. But you can see it. I mean, he's booming the thing. Be curious to see in games. Let's see how he does there.
Coach, we saw your friend John Gruden in the last couple of days.
Yeah.
What did you and John talk about? What brought him to town?
Well, he loves football. So, and he and I go way back, 30 years. So we've known each other a long time. So it's good to get him up here. He's always got good input on things. Very smart, very good football, great football coach. So. Enjoy having him around. Great energy.
Yeah. Andy, I know the long drive drill is sort of built to test guys to the limit as much as you can out here. Do you appreciate when things get a little more heated? When obviously we saw a little skirmish today. Is that part of the design of it? And how much do you sort of want that but not want it to get overboard?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not into all the fighting. Just play. Yeah. But things happen. These guys are getting tired of hitting each other, so yeah, it happens.
We'll go last three. Henry, Surrett, and then Ben. Go ahead, Henry.
I know you build your offense carefully around your quarterback's skill set, but do you ever build your team's identity around Pat's like personality, his fun-loving approach to practice, the sort of creative approach that he has?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because he wants new stuff, and so with that, you can build it around his personality there. Yeah. Yeah.
Coach, when I know you got cuts coming later, but when do you start to get in your head as to what the numbers are going to be? I know last year you kept 7 receivers, you kept 9 or 10 offensive linemen.
Probably by the second preseason game. Yeah.
Coach, do you have a playing time plan for Saturday yet?
No. Not yet. We'll get it to you, though. Yeah.
Okay,
thanks. All right, thanks, guys.
All right, that's Chiefs head coach Andy Reid.
I've mocked the "we'll get it to you" thing. I'm not, you know, it's fine.
Yeah, we'll find out probably Friday or something.
Yeah, it's fine. I don't care.
It's a preseason.
They'll say a quarter.
We also just kind of know how this typically goes at this point in preseason.
Andy's pretty static on it.
And then when we get to the third preseason game, he'll be asked if Mahomes is going to play, and he'll say, "I'm not sure yet." We all know he's not playing typically. You know what I mean? Like we've seen that usually play out.
So he had mentioned there were two things, I guess, that stood out. One is that it is going to be difficult at wide receiver because on the back end, there's a lot of competition. Sky Moore, Tony, Nico Remigio, whoever, right? Justin, whoever your guy is, there is quite a bit of back end roster competition at wide receiver. So I do think that those decisions are going to be difficult for Andy. I think it's kind of a loaded position in the sense that maybe it isn't still. Yeah, you and I don't think that they have a top 5 or top 10 wide receiver anywhere on the roster, but it's really deep between Hollywood and Rice and some others at the top. And then that middle level is really competitive with Worthy and McColl, and the back end's tough. Like, I mean, they really got one spot maybe for 4 guys. And so the idea is that at least in these preseason games, if you're Ross, if you're Sky, you can make it hard. Make it hard for them to make those decisions if it's close.
I'm assuming we're going to see a ton of Sky Moore in preseason.
Tony.
You know, I mean, Tony as well. He's a little hurt right now. So hopefully, you know, but Sky Moore in particular, I think, you've got to see something really impressive during the preseason games from him, like because he's not a special teams guy on the coverage team, that is, right?
Yeah.
You can maybe be a punt returner, although I don't think so on this team now that you have Xavier Worthy. You don't need that. And you have Tony on the roster. Like, you just don't, he doesn't fit there.
No.
And so whereas Remigio could help you on special teams, and if you're only keeping 6 or if you are keeping 7 again, I got to get the most value out of that spot if you're someone that is so far down the depth chart that can't make it an easier decision to keep you just because of your wide receiver skill level. I got to have somebody that can do both. And that's where I think it'll hurt Sky Moore if, unless he has a really good preseason, that could be a problem for him.
Yeah, it could be. But if you, if you're Sky and you do a good job with the returns and you do a good job on and you catch the ball, you know, they might stick with you, the former second round pick, over some other close calls.
That's his best asset right now. Let's just be honest, is the fact that he still was picked where he was picked. At some point, that doesn't matter anymore. And we're entering the year where
a final roster spot, it could still hold if you can perform.
It could, but you know, it definitely could. But I think as we get further into your rookie contract, where you were drafted means less and less.
Yes.
If you're struggling.
Absolutely.
And, you know,
you're not protected anymore. I'll say that. But if it's a tie, that could still win you the tie.
I think it's the tiebreaker is that slash, though, are you contributing on special teams?
Like if I know
Nico Remigio can do everything, essentially, that helps if I'm going to have him as my sixth or seventh receiver. It's a challenge for Justin Ross, too. We all see in the red zone, he can make some amazing catches, right? We saw a play out.
But he's never been a four-phase guy.
That's an issue if you're the seventh receiver.
Especially because Dave Tobes always had a lot of input on the final couple of roster spots on this team.
And you hope you don't see it, but there's also the injury factor. Who knows? You know, you get through three preseason games. Does, unfortunately, one of these guys we're mentioning, does one of them get banged up?
Like someone says, when isn't Tony hurt?
You know, but if someone's hurt, all of a sudden they're a stash on the IR, you know, the IR or whatever. So
yeah, it's a little bit different if you can do that. That does change the list a little bit, but still.
I saw the photo of Gruden because Andy was asked about John Gruden at practice.
He's there pals for
yesterday
years.
And today. And they have known each other for a very long time. We all know the history there. Only
they
between
go back to
them,
Green Bay, right?
But also his time in the NFL. We know he's been out of the league for a while with the whole email thing and everything and the lawsuit pending. It was just weird seeing him in Chiefs gear. I'll be out like Chucky and Chiefs. It just looked wrong. It just looked wrong. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. You know, in the Raiders gear and stuff, he just looks mean and angry. Chiefs gear, he looked happy, comfortable, all that. It was bizarre. But I'm all about if you want to bring other experienced coaches around to just get a fresh look at stuff. That never hurts.
But Gruden,
why he's not going to coach again anymore?
The last time he was a good coach, though, man.
But here's the
best. It's been a minute.
Okay, but this is
where, like, they're bringing in Tom Coughlin. Like, he was good 20 years ago. The game's not the same.
Yeah, but so we perceive nobody is saying that John Gruden or Tom Coughlin going to Raiders camp and Marvin Lewis going to Raiders camp. Nobody's saying that those guys are suddenly leading the team and are going to be why they win a Super Bowl or don't win a Super Bowl.
We're just giving a little input.
John Gruden, it may have ended ugly in Vegas for a variety of reasons or whatever, but like deep down, like in terms of being a football coach, like take away the other crap, a football coach, the guy
not
knows
the things
the,
he said in emails.
The guy, knows what the
racist
hell he,
things? Was it sexist or racist? I don't remember.
Might have been both. I don't remember the whole lawsuit, but allegedly. But anyway, so my point is just like, we can make the jokes all we want. Like, is he a good football? Does he know what the hell he's talking about? Of course he does. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I'm not saying he knows nothing about football. I'm just saying he hasn't been a good football coach in a while.
Right, but they're not asking him to, like, truly coach. Yeah. He's basically, like, fresh set of eyes, check out practice, like, anything come to mind? Something. That's it.
I honestly think this is no different than, like, when Eric Stone Street shows up.
Oh.
I think John Gruden was bored.
Oh.
I think John Gruden was bored. And he's like, hey, Andy, can I come to practice? He's like, sure, John. We've been friends for 30. Don't get in the way. Don't gum things up for me. You know, we got a routine here. But sure, John, you want to get out of the house for a little bit? You're bored? Sure. Come on down to camp and hang out. Yeah, I think John Gruden invited himself. I stand by that.
The idea that John Gruden just, hey, you're just come hang out. I'm with you there. That's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
The Stone Street thing, come on.
Is that too far for you?
Yes, like it's not a shot at Stone Street, but saying that, like, coaching wise, it's no different. Stop.
I didn't say coaching. I just said he's hanging out.
You said it's no different than Stone Street being there. Come on.
He's just hanging out. He's just kicking it with his boys.
Okay.
He's looking to get out of the house.
Yeah,
I haven't been out in a while, and your buddy's like, I went out somewhere on Saturday. It's like, haven't been out in a little while. Someone's like, hey, come over.
No,
have
sure
a couple of drinks. Have some fun with us. Okay.
He's clearly there because he's friends with Andy. No disputing that. But also, like, him being there watching practice is not the same thing as Stone Street watching
practice.
It
is kind of wild, like, that he would still, like, I know they've known each other a long time, so maybe they squash us under the rug. But he was the coach in charge of the lap around Arrowhead.
Mm-hmm.
You want that guy around?
Here's why
it works. He just missed your franchise in a moment.
The reason why it's different works, because the Chiefs got the last laugh. The Chiefs have won multiple rings since that incident. And including one in the Raiders stadium. So you don't give a damn about the lap anymore if you're Andy Reid.
No, we got new beef.
Yeah.
New Raiders beef.
Yeah. You got the puppet thing. You got Jamar Chase in Cincinnati. Won't even say Mahomes' name. You got other people. Current problems.
Yeah. That, I guess, in fairness, that lap, although I'm still mad at rain because we could have gone around. we could have gone around the track at the race at the speedway.
We tried. Instead, my car smelled like champagne for a week or two. Drew, you weren't here for this, but the lap that John Gruden took with the team around Arrowhead, we tried to do the same lap around Kansas Speedway, and they okayed it. Speedway was going to work with us. Unfortunately, it was way too, Mr. NASCAR, the track was too wet for us to take the old Mazda 3 up on that track. Was going to be a problem.
Instead,
we went around our parking lot, and we sprayed champagne through the sunroof of my car, and it ended up, as you can imagine, splattering into my car.
Yeah. The Gruden stuff is still, because I'm assuming is he still in a lawsuit with the league, or did that get figured out?
Say it again?
Gruden, is he still in a lawsuit? Because somebody's on here saying, like, he shouldn't have gotten fired for his emails. I'm like, I'm sorry. Just, this is the way everybody in life works. If you say racist or homophobic or sexist stuff in an email, and then it leaks out about you, and you're already doing a bad job at being a football coach.
He lost the lawsuit. Nevada High Court ruling in NFL emails as of May. He filed, the whole thing's been, I think it's done.
That's just the way that life is going to work. Your job, his job, anybody's job. If you're not a high performing and you start saying negative, if you start saying hateful things, hateful speech, those things are going to come get you. But yeah, he was always screwed by Snyder, I know that it's allegedly, it was Snyder who leaked those, right? Like, it had to be Snyder.
Probably.
He was actively in beef with the league, and it seemed like it was him that let those leak, because it was just all people connected to that at a time that he was trying to, like, not sell his team, and then eventually had to.
One point of clarification, it looks like that was a ruling of just where they could, it could be a civil case out of some state court or whatever. I guess they could still go into private arbitration or something, so he still might end up with something.
Text line said Eric Stuntry did coach freshman football in Modern Family.
Perfect. Well, perfect.
How did his team do, you know?
There you go.
On Modern Family.
No, it's fine. Having Gruden up there, no harm whatsoever. It just looks weird seeing Gruden wearing all Chiefs gear. Chucky.
Yeah, it didn't look. It looks off. If anyone's, because this is the same thing as like when Derek Johnson, if you've ever been in a Chiefs uniform or in the opposite, a Raiders uniform, the one that looks the weirdest is the flip to that. It's like red and yellow, black and silver. They've hated each other forever. It just looks weird because of like the long, long, long history.
That was part
things.
Of it. John just wanted to show up. Andy was like, you got to wear Chiefs gear.
That's the agreement.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fair. If you're going to come watch my practice, you're wearing Chiefs gear, man. He had the same clean shoes. He had the Chiefs black with the Arrowhead logo, shorts.
Yeah, he was wearing the same stuff the coaches are wearing.
Everything.
You think everything. He just like, does he take it home with him? Or does it just go back to like the laundry at the facility? They do all the laundry for everyone there.
He's taking it home.
He's not going to like put it up in the closet, is what you're saying.
I doubt it.
I think he just like gives it, I think he just changes and gives it back. They're like, you know, and then it goes back in the rotation for some other person to wear.
So they have did he stay at just another hotel? He's not staying. They didn't have a stay at the dorm. He's there for two straight practices.
There's not like an embassy suites up there. So how practice stays in the dorm?
There's other hotels in St. Joe.
Gruden probably wanted to stay.
Would he rather
there
stay in the dorm? Yeah, he's a football guy.
Yeah.
Would he rather stay at the dorm or the Days Inn?
You think they just have an extra room for rotating coaches to come through, former coaches to watch practice? You think Stone Street's staying in a dorm room?
No. Stone Street's coming back to Kansas City and staying at the embassy. The aforementioned. He's staying at like a Kansas City based hotel is my guess.
John Gruden's he's grinding tape in a hotel.
He's like sharing it with like a long snapper or something. He is definitely just like a football guy.
So was he out on the field walking around with the team?
Oh, that's right. Someone said John Gruden's now that consultant for that Italian football team. I forgot all about that. Remember we talked about that. His star had fallen. Is this his way to try to get back in the league? He's like, hey, look, I'm palling with Andy.
Who knows?
He can't get another stake.
The Milano Seaman. That's right. Remember we had fun with the name. I remember that day on the show.
That's what it was.
He's with the Milano Seaman.
Someone pointed out Eric Stone Tree could just own a Kansas City house. Like someone's claiming that he does. Like he could just like maybe he doesn't need to stay in a hotel. I just have a place here.
Yeah, his family lives here.
He's rich. He said, I bet he has an Airstream on campus. What was the Gruden camp stuff? Was he like in an Airstream in that or just like a studio? I didn't really watch much of that.
QB camp or whatever that he did with Mahomes.
That was an ESPN studio.
Yeah, that
ESPN
was ESPN setup.
I never liked the setup of those because it's just like, it's all too complimentary. It's like there's not.
I thought that was really cool to look back on now and watch him talking with Mahomes. I actually think that was a really that video is still out there. I think that was neat. No, the people that go to different camps and have the trailer, that's Jake Lazor does the whole, he used to have his own like bus that would come into camp and make sure we all knew Jake Lazor was at training camp. Did you see his tweet? I'm glad his tweet over the weekend.
Wait, he got in more trouble than me or the same amount?
No. His tweet was nothing like yours.
Oh, okay.
His tweet, though, was just basically saying how he was in Chicago and how the Bears, it's his favorite workroom of all the teams that let him work out in their workroom when he goes and visits camp. And I'm like, was that really just necessary to make sure we all know that the teams let you work out in their actual team facilities and everything?
That sounds like incredibly kiss-assy.
A little bit.
This is it. Love coming to Chicago Bears camp, partly because I love getting a workout in their weight room. I'm fortunate enough to where pretty much every team allows me to train at their facility when I come to town.
There it is.
And then the Bears are one of my favorite workout areas in the league. What is that's worse that's than
I'm,
my tweet.
But that's what I'm saying. That tweet, I'm glad that's what reminded me of when you said the Airstream thing. Like, no, Jake Lazor, he makes sure we all know when he's at training camp and the privileges he gets whenever he goes to camp. He makes sure. Now, I don't know. He said what most of the teams, which teams don't let Jake Lazor work out of the weight room? That's what I want to know. Do the Chiefs let Jake Lazor in the same workout room? These are the questions I need answers to now.
Multiple people confirming that Eric Stonestreet lives in the Northland, so like he's got a place. So
there you go.
I guess we don't have to worry about his accommodations.
I think he'll be. I wasn't really worried. I think he'll be all right either way.
Okay. Good to know.
We were going to hear from Matt Araiza, but only because of the incident that occurred last week at practice where
Drew didn't even know about that.
Drew wasn't here. But Drew, unless if he didn't say anything about Cody walking up to him, then I don't need to hear from Matt Araiza today.
I don't think he
okay.
I did see him punt a ball 75 yards today. So.
I don't need to hear from Araiza, even though he can. You want to talk about flipping the field. My goodness.
That Andy was asked about.
Yeah.
Andy was asked about him.
But yeah, last week, Cody had taken multiple photos of Matt Araiza working out. Didn't know who he was, and then Cody walked up to him and then asked what his name was.
And then when I realized it was Matt Araiza, I deleted the photos. I took the photos because I thought maybe if we all had photos, we could figure out if it was a Chiefs player or if it was just like a member of the training staff getting a little workout in. Mm-hmm. We didn't know at the time.
Yeah.
We then later knew it was Matt Araiza. Yeah. I've deleted the photos, never shared with anyone. Didn't even show them to you, you know?
I might have to listen to the whole thing over the break just to make sure.
Yeah. Otherwise, I don't need to hear the punter speak.
That was probably like a locker room story, though. Like, hey, by the way, yesterday something really weird happened or whatever, and Matt's talking to whoever. Like, yeah, some guy came up and asked me who I was.
Dustin Colquitt Tommy Towns was very good at what he did.
Mm-hmm.
But those are the kind of things, like when I think about the extensions, it's like it can so rarely, if you're the Chiefs, the extensions be for special teams guys.
Not with the current makeup of the roster.
Yeah, you need that money in what, because that makes, I think it makes Butker an interesting decision. Butker is probably, as of right now, I still say he's probably the second best kicker in the league. You can make an argument.
I think he's the best now.
Make an argument for best. I'm not going to like fight it.
Yeah.
He's one of the two best if we want to just make the conversation easy so we're not getting bogged down. And he was better than Justin Tucker last year, but I had a hard time ruling out Justin Tucker, who was the best kicker in the league the 5 years before. So, but it's tough to want to spend high money at kicker when you don't need it that often. You have Patrick Mahomes. And punter, even less so, right? That decision gets even easier.
Yeah, can you afford to have the highest paid kicker and highest paid punter while having the highest paid quarterback, while having the highest paid defensive lineman?
Or would you rather pay Trey Smith? Those are the kind of decisions you might be talking about where the money's not the same, but it could impact those decisions. Creed, Trey, Nick Bolton, anybody else we've talked about this offseason.
And that's why Matt Araiza, there's a chance also ultimately that Matt Araiza ends up just, not to talk too much punting, but could end up being better than what they had last year anyway for a lot less money than what it would require to retain.
I mean, Tommy. I'm assuming he's making league minimum.
Yeah, I think that's exactly, I think, what it is.
Tommy's already gotten an extra game of work in, though. He was in the Hall of Fame game.
He was. You know? They had him holding on kickoffs, too, the extra 12th man.
I like that they're practicing that. It's smart.
Practicing the jog off the field?
Yeah, practice the jog.
Just in case you don't know how to run to the sideline.
I mean, that's not really the job. That's a new job.
Mm-hmm,
he didn't used to run to the sideline. He used to have to stay on the field until the play was over. Mm-hmm. Now he's got to leave.
Mm-hmm.
You practice everything, you know? Camp is about getting things perfect. Someone's now claiming I downloaded a life-size poster of Matt at Walgreens. Says I'm going to put those pics above my headboard.
Yeah,
stop
Drew,
it. I deleted the photos.
They're in your recently deleted, though.
Wait, is that a thing?
Yes.
Yeah, you have to go into your recently deleted.
Are they deleted,
and then
deleted
delete those?
Or are they just 30-day deleted?
You know? They're probably 30. They're probably
30 days.
It's not 30 days.
So they're still
then,
on the phone.
Yeah,
they're still in the cloud.
Mm. Oh, I gotta get back. I gotta get in the 30 day. I guess I don't ever go to that folder. I just wait for it to.
It's not really deleted yet.
Erase. Tough call. Okay. Well, then they're half deleted. And I guess we'll get to the rest of it in the break.
Glad.
Custom jersey of Matt Araiza coming up.
Anytime I get involved with a special teamer, it seems like it goes poorly. Although Tommy Townsend did give you great dating advice, I thought.
Gold. He did. I did appreciate that. Shout out to Tommy Townsend. All right, up next, we'll get to what's trending and back into what is going to be a start of what we're calling a big boy series tonight for the Royals and Red Sox.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.